Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And a great morning to you all. Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, August 24th, 2005, and we're going to have a quick check of the weather before we get on away with the show.
All right, in Greenville, let's see if we can pull it up here. In Greenville, it's 72 degrees, and in downtown, 72 as well. Anderson, 73. Clemson, 73. Today, we have patchy fog this morning. Mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms. Humid with highs in the mid-80s. Northwest winds about 5 miles an hour with a chance of rain at 40%.
All righty. Well, I'll tell you what. Today we got another exciting show on tap for you, as usual, talking about all sorts of interesting things. I was just reflecting as I looked at Fox News' page this morning and the Peruvian jet crash that kills 41 and injures 56. You know, I just came back from Peru, and I was just reflecting in my own mind on the providence of God and how frail life is and how at any moment it can be taken away from us. And if we're outside of Christ, then we have indeed... Yeah, no hope, and not only no hope, but we face a very uncertain future. Well, no, that's not true. We face a very certain future in hell if we don't know Christ. And at any moment, God can take our lives away. No matter all the work we do, how important the things we think they are. At any rate, it doesn't matter. God can squash that at any minute. When we were down in Peru, there were two jets, as you probably are well aware, that crashed. One was in Venezuela, and the other one, I believe, was in Greece or Turkey. I think it was Greece. Just that back-to-back, and then I think this would be the third plane crash in 2 weeks. So something to remind us all about the frailty of life and the need for having Christ for our own salvation, because we just don't know when our lives will end. Could be at any moment. At any rate, President Bush is not going to meet Cindy Sheehan. Of course, the neocons are up in arms about Cindy Sheehan. She's just trying to be honest about what's going on in Iraq, as we watch so many things going on there that have to do with nothing with America's freedom, with American sovereignty, have to do with everything with America's bullying, with paying off friends of George W. Bush, and who knows what else. Certainly a ridiculous thing that we should have never been involved with as a nation. Then we have, of course, the great comments of Pat Robertson yesterday, which we spent a considerable amount of time talking about. And in fact, on I noticed the Libertarian Christians email group, there's been considerable discussion about it as well. What do you do about assassination, especially if talking about a person like Chavez? One person brought up yesterday in our email group that if you're going to put somebody at the top of the list, it's got to be Robert Mugabe down in Africa. I mean, this guy is really far worse than anybody else out there today, and that's probably true. He slaughtered off so many, thousands or well over 100,000 people in his own country. And Chavez, as much of a bonehead as he is, as a communist and so forth, it's not been quite as bad as other people. Here's a few comments on Fox News about the Chavez comment from Robertson. Chavez should be removed from power with, as the old saying goes, extreme prejudice, somebody from Atlanta, Georgia said. Another person from Tucson said, as a Christian, I find Pat Robertson's latest diatribe disturbing. As a human being, I find it frightening. A guy from Miami, Florida said, I'm an American born in Cuba. Since I know what will happen in the future and have experienced firsthand what Hitler-like dictators have done with their countries, I applaud what he has said. I say better late than never, too. That's Margarita. No, he should not have publicly made that statement, said Steve in Texas, but I believe the U.S. is fighting for our very economic life with the likes of Muslim extremism, Castro and Chavez. James, who's got this list? I have a few other names to go with Chavez. And then these statements by Robertson, says a person from Manteca, California, only confirm what I thought all along about these religious phonies and right-wing hypocrites. They all try to come off like they are Christ-like and then turn around and and are doing the exact opposite. Then we have Sandy from Bamberg, South Carolina. Yes, Pat Robertson was not only within his rights to speak the way he did, but was totally correct in so stating. When we pulled Hussein out of his rat hole, we should have shot him in the head and been done with it. Being politically correct, it's our people killed, she says. Then I agree with Pat, says somebody from Cornelia, Georgia. I'm sure our government does too. That just can speak out about it. Also, there can be nothing to do, there should be nothing done to Pat. This is a free country. You hear all these anti-war nuts talking about going doing things to President Bush. Nothing is ever said. Well, I won't read all the rest of the comments here, but interesting list of responses to Pat Robertson's remarks. Now, as Christians, I think we need to be tempered in how we handle this sort of thing. And I've been trying to suggest that on the email list. Remember that we were discussing this, the Christian Libertarians list. Remember that the Bible does seem to indicate, in my opinion at any rate, and I know pacifists don't agree, does seem to indicate that Christians have a right of self-defense. Remember that we find John the Baptist not rebuking the soldier when it came to him, didn't tell him to stop being a soldier, just told him not to defraud anybody and so forth. We have Christ telling us in Luke 22 to buy swords, and those are not weapons for hunting, but weapons for self-defense, because during the time of Christ, the earthly ministry of Christ, he came for a specific purpose, not to raise up armies or to defend anything, although he did defend himself by moving out of their midst and made sure that he didn't die before the time. But his life was different. We also see self-defense being made before courts by the Apostle Paul. We have the example of Moses killing the Egyptian in Acts chapter 6. So we have in the New Testament a number of examples of self-defense. Of course, in the Old Testament, we find all sorts of aggression, that should not be discounted either, because it does show something about the character of God when we read those sorts of passages. Well, having said all that, what is the best form of self-defense when you're talking about a collective entity or collective action? That is, through the limited government which the Founding Fathers established in this country. Well, I think the best way of self-defense frequently is going to be the way in which the least number of innocent people are killed and the least amount of cost is involved. Having said that, we might say, well, we use a pinpoint strategic method like assassination. And I think that's reasonable. I think it's a reasonable thing to use assassination as a means of pulling down a dictator. I often tell a story about being in Guatemala and looking in every bank and McDonald's and so forth and seeing a fellow there with a sawed-off shotgun. And I'd ask the question, well, why do you have a sawed-off shotgun? You know, and the people around me would say, well, they want to make sure we get the criminals when they're here because they pretty frequently come in and rob. Well, I said, don't you understand that's going to spread a little bit and you probably hit innocent people? And he says, yes, we know that. We hit innocent people all the time. I said, well, okay, then why do you use a sawed-off shotgun? Why don't you use like a pistol or give the guy a carbine rifle or something? No, he can't shoot straight, was the answer that came back to me. Well, apparently the guys that do these kind of jobs typically don't even speak Spanish. They speak their own Indian language, and it's a true problem. So at any rate, my thought about that is, well, there is an example where you have innocent people which are going to be most likely hit because of the type of weapon that's being used. And assassination or other means that reduce the number of casualties has to be preferred, I think, for those who want to pursue peace and are defending ourselves so that we can live righteously in the world. So I don't have a problem with the idea of assassination. However, it is a little bit crass in the way that Robertson may have come across, and a little bit nutty, because he sounds like he's some sort of an ape going insane to many people, but obviously not to everybody, since there's a lot of people who agree with him. So I would say, tempering his comment, that we ought to be careful about these kinds of remarks, and also begin to be a little bit more objective about who they apply to. After all, if they apply to Chavez, they certainly would apply to Robert Mugabe. They certainly would apply to Fidel Castro. And why wouldn't they apply to people that are tyrants in our own country? There's a question for you. What about George W. Bush? I mean, yeah, he's not a communist out and out. We know that. Certainly, he's not as bad as Robert Mugabe. But on the other hand, he is a tyrant who's taken away our liberties, and the Founding Fathers were willing to fight King George in the same way, assassinate him or members of Parliament. Why wouldn't we say the same thing about people who are robbers, who are coming and as thugs in our own American nation? There's a tough question. That's that the logical conclusion of these kinds of sentiments leads us to. The idea that we live in a different sort of society with elected officials and therefore they're immune from these sorts of same principles doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But you may have a different opinion. We'd love to hear from you this morning. This is Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Remember, our phone number is 864-244-8177. Look forward to hearing from you this morning. Give us a call, and we'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor, a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth. Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the American Constitution. Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedoms of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. Amendment 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Amendment 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Amendment 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject to the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Amendment 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Amendment 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Amendment 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Amendment 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people.
If the state sets itself up as the supreme arbiter of human affairs, it must domesticate the individual, lest any lingering remnants of self-reliance weaken the state's authority. The state must resist the individual's effort to follow the dictates of his conscience, lest they conflict with the decrees of Caesar. In the interest of its own safety, the state must eventually deny that the individual is a person, for the individual can be a person only when he puts his obligation to God ahead of his obligation to Caesar. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in the Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 145.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. You know, I was just thinking about Proverbs chapter 24, verses 10 through 12 during the break, because it does relate to the whole idea of self-defense. It says this: if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Deliver those who are drawn toward death, and hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, surely we did not know this, does not he who weighs the hearts consider it? He who keeps your soul, does he not know it? And will he not render to each man according to his deeds? Well, what this scripture seems to be telling us, it applies to several different groups of people. One would be to judges, obviously, who could deliver those who have been wrongly pushed towards death. The other would be towards an individual who has the opportunity to rescue someone who is going to be killed or harmed by a thug or some other predator. And this is, of course, the classic verse that has been used by, or passage that's been used by Operation Rescue in their actions to rescue people who are being killed in their mother's wombs. But might it also apply, I would think so, to collective action, that if we know that people somewhere else are being harmed by an oppressive aggressor and so forth, we might be able to intervene. And that's not a foreign policy that we often think about, especially because most of the foreign wars that we're involved in or engaged in has something to do with other than helping the people there who are being drawn towards death, as the scripture says. It often has to do with oil or some other money or power issues. That's why we go to Iraq to liberate, so-called liberate, and spread democracy, supposedly, in that place, but we don't go to Zimbabwe, where Robert Mugabe is, or to even to Cuba, right nearby. So at any rate, there is some justification in the scripture. This verse could be used, I think these verses could be used legitimately to say there is a right of self-defense and a right that we have as Christians to collectively help those who are being oppressed. And I think this is the Christian worldview. Interesting thinking for the morning, at any rate. An interesting perspective on the Pat Robertson comments, and certainly we need to be very careful before we listen to those who claim to be Christians. Well, I'm a Christian, and I would never defend myself, or I would never allow other people to be defended by force. I mean, Jesus wouldn't do that. It's an ignorance. It's a lack of understanding of the whole counsel of God when we say that self-defense, or even a collective version of self-defense, is wrong. That's just certainly not the case. We had a comment this morning from Charles, who's writing in an email, and he says, "John, Radioland is glad to have you back. What impressed you most about the people you meet in South America?" Well, that's a question that's sort of like asking, John, what impresses you the most about people who live in Europe? I guess it depends where you are. I mean, if you're in Finland, one thing or another will impress you, and if you're in England, another thing will impress you. If you're in Greece, something else. The people speak a common language generally in South America, except for, Brazil speaks Portuguese and the rest speaks Spanish, except for a few Guyanas. One is French and one English. Other than that, in Portuguese and Spanish are close, so that truly makes that continent a little more unified, I guess. Of course, North America is all English, with the exception of Quebec. A little bit of French there, and a little bit of Spanish, obviously, from Mexico. That's even come over into the United States. It's hard to make a homogenous sort of statement about people in South America. I will say this, that people who are from Argentina, Chile, and Uruguay are quite different than the others, both racially. They tend to be far more European in their appearance and otherwise, especially in Argentina and Uruguay. And in the way they act and the way they build things. In places like Peru, the red stoplight means basically nothing. They just kind of head on through it. You can also bribe the cops there. You can in every country, actually, except for Chile. So people are different. The way they act is different in different places, and it's really hard to make a sweeping generalization, but there are things which impress me in all the countries I go to down there. The immense poverty of Bolivia, Paraguay, and parts of Peru is just astounding to me. And the immense prosperity of people in Chile is also astounding when we see the free market, how it's worked in the last 30 years. Charles also writes, another subject, "With gas prices on the increase and our paycheck on the decline, how do you think this is going to affect us? Do you think it will bring up the next Great Depression or worse?" Oh, I rather doubt it, although we're annoyed by $2.50 a gallon for gas. Remember, the Europeans have been paying, Western Europeans live a very nice life in terms of the quality of life, and they've been paying $5 a gallon for years. Essentially, these kinds of distortions do in the economy is tend to cause us to change our behavior in the kinds of cars we drive. Basically, if you have a car that's a gas guzzler, its value is going to go down in the market, and people who have those kinds of cars that are half electric and half gas will end up getting more money for their particular cars than they would otherwise. Relative value of things will change as people's demand or the quantity demanded for gasoline changes, and that's about it. As far as the dollars in the paycheck going down, I guess that's all depends who you are and where you are. I don't think it's a general decline in our paychecks in any particular moment in time. We certainly face inflation, which is always a threat by the state, but I don't think that's you know, that is such a huge bounding thing. Like in some Latin countries, you get hyperinflation right now, where it's having a dramatic effect that's going to bring us into a depression. So I'm not sure that there's any economic logic for why the increase in gas to $2.50 a gallon would cause a Great Depression. It certainly will raise costs of transportation, which will affect the cost of all goods, and it will certainly affect the value of automobiles and the amount of times we get to go out to eat with our disposable income, which will go down. But that's probably about it at the moment. But anyway, I appreciate the comment, Charles, and please do write in again to Christian Worldview. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. It's time for another break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20.
What do you know?
And it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
At our board meeting on...
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
There is a place for government in the affairs of men, and our Declaration of Independence tells us precisely what that is. The role of government is to protect individuals in their God-given individual rights. Freedom is the natural birthright of man, but all that government can do in behalf of freedom is to let the individual alone, and it should secure him his rights by making others let him alone. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 142.
And here is something from Charles Spurgeon this morning, a famous Baptist preacher of the 19th century. It was sent out to us by the illustrious Tyranny Response Network research staff. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, Ephesians 3:17. Beyond measure, it is desirable that we as believers should have the person of Jesus constantly before us, to inflame our love towards him and to increase our knowledge of him. I would to God that my readers were all entered as diligent scholars in Jesus' college, students of Corpus Christi or the body of Christ, resolved to attain unto a good degree in the relearning of the cross. But to have Jesus ever near, the heart must be full of him, welling up with his love, even to overrunning. Hence the apostle prays that Christ may dwell in your hearts. See how near he would have Jesus to be. You cannot get a subject closer to you than to have it in the heart itself. That he may dwell, not that he may call upon you sometimes as a casual visitor enters into a house and tarries for a night, but that he may dwell, that Jesus may come, the Lord and tenant of your most inmost being, never more to go out. Observe the words, that he may dwell in your hearts, to be the best room of the house of manhood, not in your thoughts alone, but in your affections, not merely in the mind's meditations, but in the heart's emotions. We should plant after love to Christ of a most abiding character, not a love that flames up and then dies out into the darkness of a few embers, but a constant flame, fed by sacred fuel, like the fire upon the altar, which never went out. This cannot be accomplished except by faith. Faith must be strong, or love will not be fervent. The root of the flower must be healthy, or we cannot expect the bloom to be sweet. Faith is the lily's root, and love is the lily's bloom. Now, reader, Jesus cannot be in your heart, as our heart's love, except you have a firm hold of him by your heart's faith, and therefore pray that you may always trust Christ in order that you may always love him. If love be cold, be sure that faith is drooping. Charles Spurgeon said that, and you are listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back after these announcements.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
As long as the state, the agency of coercion, stands over society offering to dispense economic privilege to those who pay it homage, conferring an advantage on some men at the expense of other men, the misuse of political power should be the first line of attack for the moralist. It is inevitable that political privilege will be used in this way if it is available and begging to be used. No people has ever resisted it who have been led into this temptation. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 84.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
We welcome you back to Christian Worldview this 24th day of August, 2005. Let's check the weather real quickly.
All right, the weather today, still holding around 72 in Greenville, 73 in Anderson, and 74 now in Clemson. And today we can expect patchy fog this morning, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms, and humid with highs in the mid-80s, northeast winds around 5 miles per hour. Chance of rain today, 40%.
All right, thanks a lot for that weather update. Bush is dismissing calls to pull back troops from Iraq. No surprise there. Mr. Bush implored Americans not to lose their nerve. Why would they have a problem with that? After all, just after a bunch of people are being slaughtered off over there, our people, so to speak, and their people. A policy of retreat and isolation will not bring us safety, Mr. Bush said. The only way to defend our citizens where we live is to go after the terrorists where they live. When Iraqi forces can defend their freedom by taking on more and more of the fight to the enemy, our troops will come home with the honor they have earned. I wonder when that will be. Seems like it's been dragging on for quite some time, and as a matter of fact, it seems like George W. Bush has some other things in mind when he's over there messing around with Iraq. Chuck Baldwin writes in yesterday, America's surrendering their liberties, shades of German history, in his column. He says, it appears that a strengthened USA Patriot Act will soon sail through Congress with little opposition or consternation on the part of the American people. The new Patriot Act is even more stringent than the original. In addition, many of the more egregious elements of the Patriot Act, which were originally scheduled to sunset, are made permanent in the latest version. And the vast majority of the American people do not seem to mind. For one thing, Americans seem to have accepted the notion that they must rely on the federal government to take care of them. Lost to most of is an independent, self-reliant spirit. After all, Americans already look to Uncle Sam for food stamps, welfare payments, commercial and farm subsidies, and faith-based handouts. Why should they object to the federal government's promise now to now provide their complete security, even if it does mean the sacrifice of their liberties? To most Americans, security seems much more valuable than freedom. It is incumbent upon each of us to remember that this is exactly the way Adolf Hitler and the Nazi Party took control in Germany. They did not seize power by force. The German people happily gave them power on the promise of national security. And since 9/11, even those Americans who in the past have championed freedom and independence now demonstrate an obvious readiness to gladly yield their liberties. It does not seem to matter one iota that they are losing their right of privacy and their right to secure their own homes. When told that the Patriot Act is practically a carbon copy of Hitler's Enabling Act, most Americans either yawn with indifference or retort with disbelief. They seem to be oblivious to reality. For some, their personal support for President Bush will not allow them to look objectively at the details of his Patriot Act or virtually anything else yet he does. They truly don't want to believe that Bush could ever promote something untoward. Yet, was this not the same reasoning used by the German people in the 1930s? They loved and trusted Hitler so much they could not bring themselves to believe that he could do anything wrong. Americans need to spread the principles expressed by their founding fathers. Specific to the topic, Thomas Jefferson rightly said in Questions of Power, then no one be said of confidence in man, but bind him down with mischief by the chains of the Constitution. It would seem that many Americans today no longer believe that. For others, the fact that they do not believe themselves to have yet been personally affected by the now Gestapo-like powers given to the executive branch by the Patriot Act gives them a sense of false peace. Their attitude is usually expressed by sentiments such as, well, if you're not doing anything wrong, you don't have anything to fear. Of course, such thing is extremely naive and short-sighted. Our entire way of life is predicated upon the conviction that we are presumed innocent of any wrongdoing, and only by a substantiated and cumbersome process of discovery and prosecution can that assumption be taken away from us. The Patriot Act totally reverses that historic principle. And we appreciate Chuck Baldwin's comments this morning. He does an excellent job as usual, and like the idea of comparing the United States as it is in the 2000 first decade of the millennium 2000 with Nazi Germany and the trust people were having in the state. Is Bush the next Hitler? Well, I don't think so, unless he can become a dictator all of a sudden, but nevertheless, we seem to be going down a similar road of fascism and fascist principles here in this nation. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and believe it or not, it's time for another break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If the state sets itself up as the supreme arbiter of human affairs, it must domesticate the individual, lest any lingering remnants of self-reliance weaken the state's authority.
Just a minute.
The state must resist the individual's effort to follow the dictates of his conscience, lest they conflict with the decrees of Caesar. In the interest of its own safety, the state must eventually deny that the individual is a person, for the individual can be a person only when he puts his obligation to God ahead of his obligation to Caesar. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in the Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 145.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We have a caller on the line, and we'd like to welcome you to the show. Welcome to Christian Worldview. Who am I speaking with?
Oh, my name is Don.
Don, well, good. This is your first time calling the show?
Yes.
Good. Well, welcome to the show. What's on your mind today, Don?
I had a question referring to the comment you made about Jesus to taking up swords. What reference was that?
Sell his garment and buy one.
Okay. Now I remember that. But how do you reconcile that with the verse that says to be as wise as serpents but harmless as doves?
Well, it's not, I don't think they have to be reconciled. I don't think the scripture fights against itself. I think what we have instead is Jesus teaching two different principles. One is that in general, in our lives, we are to be those who make peace and pursue peace. The paradox we face, however, as Christians, is that sometimes pursuing peace requires us to fight off or against aggressive predators. In other words, being a peacemaker in the world does not entail us rolling over and being lambasted or steamrolled by a group of thugs that are sent either by Satan or by whoever else. Instead, fighting for things like the principles the Founding Fathers sought in the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence actually promoted peace in the world. It's almost a paradox, I suppose, or I guess you could call it a paradox. But if you think about it, Don, when we look at the founding of this country, the tyranny we had at that time, by fighting against King George and against the Parliament, we produced an era of peace and prosperity that's been unparalleled in the history of the world. And so Christians, paradoxically, can pursue peace at times by defending ourselves against aggressors. And so I think that's how that paradox sometimes causes some consternation to Christians when they look at one verse, kind of one set of verses or another.
Okay. So wouldn't you say that George Bush fighting the terrorists is the same thing then?
Well, we could if George Bush were truly fighting terrorists. There's no indication, as far as I can tell, that the terrorist movement was strongly in Iraq when we went there and attacked it. You might make that case in Afghanistan, but it's very hard to make that case with Iraq. It looks like, as some people have said, there was some other beef that George Bush had with Saddam Hussein before the war began. There was already plans to invade Iraq before the war began, and it's not clear that he's pursuing terrorists. But if indeed he were pursuing terrorists, people that would aggress us, then yes, you could apply the same logic to him. It's just that there's some doubt about whether his policy is truly pursuing it that way. And also there is a problem too about the whole concept of terrorism versus the terrorists. when you pursue a war against an ism like terrorism, it basically gives you a carte blanche to go out and attack without any true accountability just about anything out there. I think there might be a terrorist under that rock or this rock, and just go ahead and blast everything around it. And that is in and of itself a problem, because you have no enemy that you've been able to identify.
So you believe that that wasn't President Bush's motive for going into Iraq?
Well, I have doubt about President Bush's motive. Obviously, I don't know the man's heart, but I have. But looking at the Patriot Act and the suspicious events around 9/11, I have some doubt about President Bush. That's for sure. Do you have confidence that President Bush is doing the right thing?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, I think a lot of people are not sure. It just, a lot of things do not add up, and I don't know why we don't get the same news stories all over the world all the time at sometimes. But, you know, I'm down in Chile and Peru last week, and they're airing, even on CNN, this the European edition, the whole CIA scam and the cover-up of the weapons of mass destruction, quoting Rumsfeld and these others talking about why we're going to Iraq and so forth. These things have never materialized. It seems like it was just a ruse and a ploy. Although that sounds a lot like liberal rhetoric, let's face it, the liberals, just because they're liberals doesn't mean everything they say is wrong. They may have found something that's true. And I have every reason to believe right now that George W. Bush had no good reason to go to Iraq, has no good reason to be in Iraq right now. And we've just caused a lot of devastation and harm to tens of thousands of people for basically no good purpose. But other people may defend him still, you may not be one of those, but I don't see any reason why we can defend either the war or George W. Bush.
How do you feel about the Bible verse that says to pray for our leaders?
Well, the scriptures make it very clear why we are to pray for our leaders. And if you read on in the passage there in 1 Timothy chapter 2, the Bible says we are to pray for our leaders so that they leave us alone, that we can lead a quiet and peaceable life. That's the main reason you pray for them. I think you can also pray for them that they be saved. I don't think that's an illegitimate prayer either, not from that passage, but from other parts of the scripture. But I don't think the scripture teaches us to pray for our leaders that they govern us righteously, or that that George W. Bush somehow carry out his warfare plans in a biblical manner and spread the truth. That's a misconception that Christians have that has not come out of the Bible or that particular text. Anyway,
do you
go ahead, Don.
Do you believe that President Bush is safe?
I have no reason to believe President Bush is saved, and I base that on several things. One is that a true Christian, in my mind, will do everything possible to defend the unborn. And George Bush could stop abortion tomorrow if he wanted to, by an executive decree and even using the military to close down abortion clinics. And he doesn't do that. Also, George W. Bush does not have any problem, apparently, with stealing, because the government is routinely involved with a legalized plunder scheme through welfare state benefits and so forth, and he continues to allow this to occur without any slowdown. In fact, George W. Bush has increased the budget, and he's taken away the rights and liberties of individuals through the Patriot Act in a way that people like Bill Clinton could never even dream of. So his actions in violation of the principles of the Word of God speak loudly. There are also some other things. First, for instance, that he attends sporadically this United Methodist Church, or even if he attended there every Sunday, it wouldn't matter. This is an apostate denomination in general, and doesn't lend itself much to his own credibility as a Christian. And I could go on with a few other things, but I don't believe, I have serious doubts that George W. Bush is a Christian. Of course, I can't judge his heart from here. But just looking at his actions and reading what Jesus says, that you will know a tree by its fruit, I make the determination that I have no reason to believe, at any rate, that he is a believer.
Do you remember when he first ran for president and he went to Bob Jones University and confessed his faith in the Jesus Christ?
I do, and I also he also did the same thing the other day with the National Right to Life Committee. Anytime George Bush gets near a Christian group or a Christian college, he wants to please those voters, and he'll say anything it takes to get them on his team, to appease them, to give lip service to the faith. But the actions speak louder than words. I mean, he is just a shifty politician that wants to do anything to get votes. And he's even willing to confess Christ.
Well, thank you for your time, sir.
All right. Thank you very much for the call, Don. Look forward to talking with you again sometime. And you're
bye.
All right. And you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. And we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
There is a place for government in the affairs of men, and our Declaration of Independence tells us precisely what that is. The role of government is to protect individuals in their God-given individual rights. Freedom is the natural birthright of man, but all that government can do in behalf of freedom is to let the individual alone, and it should secure him his rights by making others let him alone. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 142.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you joined us today. Just had a good call with Don. If you have other questions or comments about the whole issue of self-defense, we'd be glad to hear from you. Do give us a call at 864-244-8177 if you're calling on a weekday morning. Otherwise, you're listening to a recorded show. I'm glad you're doing that, but don't call in because no one will answer. Here's an article from Pierre Lemieux out of the Mises Economics blog on the oil price mirage. A couple comments out of his blog, which I think are great. He said, an opinion poll at the end of last year already revealed that 40% of Texans thought that corporate greed was behind high gasoline prices. As if, to paraphrase Adam Smith, we should expect to obtain our gasoline from the oil merchants' benevolence instead of their self-interest. He has a graph showing the price of crude oil and how In 1973, before the great oil crisis there and the gas lines and so forth, it was about $19, $18 a barrel. And it hit that same level at the end of 1999, and then again started falling towards that in 2002. That's when you remember 89 cents a gallon here in South Carolina. Now it's up, of course, very much higher, over $60 a barrel. It's been that high before. In fact, it was almost $90 a barrel, or actually it was over $90 a barrel, in the early 80s, as you may recall. So during OPEC and the other kinds of cartel activities, you can have governments meddling and creating monopoly pricing of these sorts of things, and it should not surprise us. Pierre says this: to summarize, oil prices have recently increased because supply disruptions, that's through government policy, and because market participants believe that the resource is becoming scarcer. Crude oil could be scarcer in the future for a number of reasons. The political situation in the Middle East and the cost of developing new supplies like oil sands on the supply side. Increases in demand caused by Chinese and Indian growth on the demand side should be no surprise to us. He says, as for the growth of demand, which normally follows population and revenue growth, Julian Simon argued that it would be dampened by new technologies that reduce the use of oil, like lighter cars, and eventually by new materials. The value of petroleum as in proportion of finished products will continue to decrease, and contrary to Malthusian fears, population growth will spur the potential for inventions. In the past few years, however, many resource prices, exemplified by copper, have gone up. What do we think about that? As the saying goes, forecasting is risky, especially with regard to the future. But the point that Simon makes, and I think is quite right, is that all natural resources tend to decline in price over time. It's just through these short-term shocks and distortions, especially ones caused by governments, that we end up having increases in particular prices. But before we go to the next break, I want to remind folks to visit tyrannyresponse.com. Remember that this evening there is the Libertarian Underground at 8 p.m. It's the fourth Wednesday of the month, Cafe Underground, just off of Main Street, downtown Greenville. They'd love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government if you can make it. And tomorrow evening there is the Greenville County Taxpayers Association meeting at 7 p.m. at the Greenville Downtown Library. Institute on the Constitution takes place in Pickens on Saturday morning from 8:30 to noon. Hope you can attend some of these events, and if you need to get the directions or more data about details about them, visit tyrannyresponse.net or tyrannyresponse.com. You'll find all the information there that you need. I also want to mention before we go to the break that you support our friends at the Times Examiner. It is the conservative voice of the Palmetto State. If you want to read great columnists who are pro-life libertarian or Constitution Party specifically, and also don't mind being molested now and then by a few neocons here and there, Tony Beam in particular, as well as some others, read the Times Examiner. Those columnists are great reading, and they're great food for thought every week. A full year subscription is only $25 in-state and $27 out-of-state. You can email them. Don't do that. Just call them. 864-268-0576. It's 864-268-0576. If you want to place an ad in the Times Examiner, call David at 864-859-6817. And you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
As long as the state, the agency of coercion, stands over society offering to dispense economic privilege to those who pay it homage, conferring an advantage on some men at the expense of other men, the misuse of political power should be the first line of attack for the moralist. It is inevitable that political privilege will be used in this way if it is available and begging to be used. No people has ever resisted it who have been led into this temptation. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 84.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you've joined us this morning. I just noticed that Fox News has also reported that Venezuela is condemning Pat Robertson's comments as criminal, and they're planning to try to sue him through some obscure law here in the United States. And the U.S. government is distancing itself from Robertson's comments. Oh, well. Any rate, let's go and check the weather real quick.
Well, we're still at 72 degrees in Greenville, 73 in Anderson, 74 in Clemson. Oh, it just popped up to 73 now in Greenville downtown and at the airport. Today still we're looking for patchy fog this morning, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms. Humid with highs in the mid-80s, northeast winds around 5 miles an hour. Chance of rain of 40% and lows tonight in the upper 60s with a chance of rain this evening of 30%.
And we just had a caller try to get through on the line. Just want to encourage you to call back. Apparently, well, I'm not sure what happened. One of the technologies either on the cell phone end, your end, or on our end caused it to hang up. But by all means, if you have trouble getting through the first time, do try to call back again. 864-244-8177 is the main line. You can also try the backup line, which is 864-201-6955, and we'll do our best to get you on the air as soon as possible. When you do call, remember that sometimes we'll have to put you on hold immediately if things are going and progressing in the show, but we'll get to your call as soon as we can. Well, I want to remind folks also to sign the South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition. We've talked about the tyrannyresponse.com website. Please go to the tyrannyresponse.com website and visit under the related media link the South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition to save your private property, and take 30 seconds out of your morning or afternoon to sign that petition there. You'll be glad you did, and it'll be helping a little bit in the cause for liberty and truth in our land here. Well, I have here an article that came down through about Roberto and Fidel, two versions of Share the Wealth. Tyranny Response Network was very astute to find, their research staff was very astute to find this article for us. This is by Cecil Bohannon and Norman Van Cott. They're both teaching the Department of Economics at Ball State University in Muncie, Indiana. And the October 1977 of death of Robert Goizueta, the former CEO of Coca-Cola who fled Fidel Castro's Cuba in 1961, offers an opportunity to make a telling comment on the Cuban economy. To wit, the corporate regime of a single Cuban immigrant generated sufficient wealth to do more than double the average living standard in Cuba. The market value of the Coca-Cola company increased by $141 billion. That was from $4 billion to $145 billion between 1981 and 1987, the period when Goizueta led Coca-Cola. Suppose you invested $141 billion in the stock market. What yearly return on average could you expect from your investment? The usual approach to such questions is to look at previous returns in the stock market over a long period of time. It turns out that the Standard & Poor's 500 index grew at an average annual rate of 10.7% for the 70 years between 1927 and 1996. Investing $141 billion at this rate of return yields on average a yearly income of $15 billion. CIA statistics say that Cuba's national income is $14.7 billion. In other words, the increase in Coca-Cola's wealth under Goizueta can be expected to generate more income than 11 million Cubans under Fidel Castro. Admittedly, Goizueta wasn't solely responsible for the more than 36-fold increase in Coca-Cola's shareholder value. He had help from Coca-Cola's 32,000 employees, the opening of world markets, and the booming U.S. stock market. Nevertheless, Goizueta was at the helm when the wealth-increasing decisions were made. The buck stopped at his desk. Regardless of how one partitions the $141 billion between Goizueta's efforts and other factors, he garnered but a small fraction of the increase. Most of the increase went to the other shareholders. At his death, Goizueta is reported to have held $1 billion of Coca-Cola stock. This is less than 1% of the rise of the value of Coke stock. Moreover, the increase in the value of Coca-Cola stock actually understates the wealth created under the Goizueta regime. Additional value not captured in the stock price accrued to Coca-Cola employees, suppliers, distributors, and consumers. Creating the wealth entails and spanning the network of voluntary exchanges in the marketplace. Robert Goizueta never forced anyone to drink a Coke, never expropriated anyone's assets, and never forcibly drafted anyone into Coca-Cola's service. Rather, he was a talented wealth creator who shared his wealth among many. Then there's Fidel. Fidel Castro is another Cuban of Goizueta's generation who has talked a lot about sharing wealth. Fidel Castro's methods, however, differ radically from those of Roberto Goizueta. Confiscation of wealth, forced labor, and jail sentences for opponents have been the hallmark of his regime. Is it any wonder that Robert Goizueta and 32,000 Coca-Cola employees can outdo Fidel Castro and his 11 million slaves? Some might interpret all of this as a justification for Fidel Castro and others like him prohibiting emigration from their countries. That way, goes the argument, Goizueta would have produced wealth for Cuba instead of Coca-Cola. This misses the point completely. Even if Fidel Castro had been prescient enough to recognize Goizueta's managerial entrepreneurial potential in 1961 and then prevented his departure, it is safe to say that Goizueta's talents would have been languished in a communist quicksand and perverse incentives. Cuba's current living standards would have been little changed. In the end, societies that stifle voluntary exchange waste the talents and resources of other people. That's why Fidel will never match Roberto when it comes to sharing wealth. You can't share what you don't have. And that's a great economics lesson for us on the difference between communist regimes and what we can produce under the free market. And you are listening to Christian Worldview. Time for another break. We'll be back in just a minute.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
There is a place for government in the affairs of men, and our Declaration of Independence tells us precisely what that is. The role of government is to protect individuals in their God-given individual rights. Freedom is the natural birthright of man, but all that government can do in behalf of freedom is to let the individual alone, and it should secure him his rights by making others let him alone. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 142.
And here's a great comment from one of our favorite people, in fact, our only favorite congressman, Ron Paul, from the Houston area, Texas. In Texas, he says, the greatest threat facing America today is not terrorism or foreign economic competition or illegal immigration. The greatest threat facing America today is the disastrous fiscal policies of our own government, marked by shameless deficit spending and the Federal Reserve currency devaluation. It is this 1-2 punch, Congress spending more than it can tax or borrow, and the Fed printing money to make up the difference, that threatens to impoverish us by further destroying the value of our dollars. Great comment from Ron Paul. We appreciate that. Also had a comment the research staff sent up off of the LouRockwell.com website by James Leroy Wilson. He says, at part of his article called I'm Not Buying Bicycle Helmets, he says, dedicating one's life to the military or to law enforcement is an act of faith, often described as faith in democracy, or in our republican form of government, or the rule of law. Yet faith is not grounded in history and reason. That is not grounded in history and reason is foolishness, and neither history nor reason can demonstrate that democratic republics, and that in democratic republics, the best rise to the top. The only wars that are fought are unavoidable, necessary, and defensive in purpose. The right to be left alone, the right to liberty, is respected. The best ideas are embraced, and the bad ones are rejected. Constitutional checks and balances prevent anyone from acquiring too much power. The government is capable of honestly and fairly checking the excesses of free markets, even as special interest lobbyists dominate the capital city. Individual rights and property are protected from collectivist programs, and government is effectively guarded against infiltration by foreign powers, organized crime, and secret organizations. Of course, other forms of government are no better, he says, and that's the problem. The state is the problem, no matter where it originated, how it is structured, or the virtues of the occasional honest politician. This isn't about if we had someone like insert your private president here, faith in our government can be restored. I agree wholeheartedly with Cindy Sheehan that her son Casey was killed in the wrong war fought for the wrong reasons, but I think that we must emphasize that all non-defensive wars are wrong, no president can be trusted, and faith in the government defies history and reason, and thus it would be foolish to risk one's life in doing the state's bidding. And I couldn't agree more. When I was down in Peru and talking, listening to especially the left-leaning evangelicals there, the ones that are even Marxist, talking about how the virtues of the state and using, you know, getting evangelicals into the state apparatus and therefore being able to loot people better and redistribute money better through evangelical means, which is just such a contradiction. I asked the question several times to people, why would you trust the state to do anything good for you? Has it ever done anything good before? Why do you think the state can do what you're actually claiming it should be doing? And the response was, it was either, for the most part, silence. They had no answer. They had no reason why they would believe the state would do it, other than that they've been indoctrinated that it somehow could. And they had no justification in the past where the state had ever succeeded in being a redistributor of wealth. But one woman vociferously stood up and said, "Well, Dr. Coben, we've never seen it happen before, but we're going to make it happen for the first time. It's when we get in there and begin to control people's lives." And that's the kind of pipe dream logic that is so pervasive among many peoples, even in South America and Peru, at any rate, among evangelicals, that leads them astray, because the state will never become an ally of the truth or helpful in promoting the things that we hold near and dear to our hearts, liberty, life, liberty, and property. Those kinds of rights just isn't going to happen. Well, here's another related story. Murdered in Afghanistan, Mike in Tokyo Rogers says, and skipping down through his article, here the story, he says that there's a horrible story about a guy at Camp Casey in Crawford, Texas. He said there, of course, are very many people who have a heartbreaking story to tell. The families, there are families of soldiers who have died in a war started because of a lie. Soldiers who make the ultimate sacrifice for what they believed in order only for those who survive them to find out they've been lied to, and their sons and daughters, mothers and fathers have died for nothing. And no, I'm not talking about the war in Iraq. Today I'm talking about they were lied to before Iraq. I'm talking about the invasion of Afghanistan. And he says, the story takes a most horrifying and repulsive turn. Here's when the story turns into an abomination that will nauseate an American who's ever served or known to have served in our once proud armed forces. Shortly before his death, Juan Torres Jr. had called his father from Bagram Air Force Base. Juan Jr. was overwhelmed with fear. He was distraught because of the rampant drug use, drug dealing, and drug trafficking among officers and enlisted men inside Bagram. He was especially upset that officers as high as the captains were involved with this drug trafficking, and their superior officers were doing nothing to put a stop to it. Juan Torres does not speak English particularly well. In fact, his English is sometimes difficult to understand, but being a foreigner in a foreign country, I could feel his pain. I could relate to what he wanted to say, and this frustration, his own ability to communicate his thoughts. I videotaped an interview with Juan Torres Sr. Here's a transcript of that interview about his recollections of the final telephone call he had from his son, Juan Torres Jr. "My son said, 'Daddy, there's a lot of drugs here. The officers are dealing in drugs. I don't like it. I talked to all my friends and told them, don't use drugs because it's really terrible here. I told my son to say nothing to anybody. I told him that he only had a little bit more time and he could come back. I begged him to be quiet, but he said he couldn't. He said, but Daddy, these are American soldiers. They're not supposed to be doing this. I have to try to stop them. My son worked every day from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., but the day before he died, some officer changed my son's working hours. They changed his schedule and told him to go off duty at 6 p.m. and to come on at 6 a.m. the next day. When my son didn't report for duty in the morning, they reported that he died. The Army claims that he shot himself in the head while taking a shower. That doesn't make sense. They murdered him inside the shower when he was taking a shower, and he couldn't defend himself because he was unarmed. The shot was in the head." Well, there's an interesting take on the way things go in the Army sometimes. Sad, sad case of affairs, and no reason to doubt that it wouldn't happen. Do you have a reason to doubt? This is Christian Worldview you're listening to with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back after this final break.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
If the state sets itself up as the supreme arbiter of human affairs, it must domesticate the individual, lest any lingering remnants of self-reliance weaken the state's authority. The state must resist the individual's effort to follow the dictates of his conscience, lest they conflict with the decrees of Caesar. In the interest of its own safety, the state must eventually deny that the individual is a person, for the individual can be a person only when he puts his obligation to God ahead of his obligation to Caesar. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in the Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 145.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview. And speaking of insanity here in government, my wife wanted me to point out today that in South Carolina, it's now illegal for your child to ride one of these battery-powered scooters. Like our kids have these things where you can stand on them and they can go 15 miles an hour with a battery and you charge it overnight and they can ride around on it. The cop pulled them over the other day and told them to get off and that they would fine the parents. In fact, if they fine the parents more than twice, I believe, they would take away the driving license and privilege of driving in South Carolina. Of course, we have questions about all those things and in general at any rate, if government could restrict those things at all. But nevertheless, this is what the cop told them, gave them a little guidelines for specialty vehicles, this 9-year-old and 11-year-old kids. By definition, every self-propelled vehicle except for a moped is a motor vehicle. This includes gas or electric vehicles, either sealed-down motorcycles or look-alikes. South Carolina will license and register any motor vehicle for use on a public road and highway so long as the manufacturer's specification declare that the vehicle is designed and manufactured for highway use and meets federal safety standards. Therefore, if a specialty vehicle is declared for off-road use only, it cannot be registered, therefore making it illegal for use on public roadways. So in other words, you could be having your kids could be harassed if they have this thing and they're not on the sidewalk, apparently, if they're on the road in your subdivision or wherever you are. You could lose your license or you could be fined for them being there. Crazy insanity as it may be, that's the kind of thing we're facing now. Lou Rockwell gives us some more insanity as he talks about the Iraqi constitution as well. He says a constitution for Iraq. Last Friday, as the puppet leaders in Iraq were arguing about what is going to be the Iraqi constitution, they had to speak especially loudly to be heard over the explosions and bombs outside. Not ideal conditions under which to forge a new governing authority, especially one purporting to grant liberty and rights. The first ambition of the state is always to be exercise power, and if there ever be a constitution designed to enhance government power, there it is. And here's the Iraqi constitution. We've already talked about this before. Here's some of the provisions in it. The Iraqi citizens still have, or shall have, the right to enjoy security and free health care. It's responsibility of the central Iraqi state and the regional, provincial, local, and municipal governments to provide health care and to expand it in the fields of prevention, treatment, and protection of children, pregnant women, school students, workers, and disabled, and the aged, just about everybody. It's forbidden to construct civil society organizations whose activities are aggressive, harmful to the interests of society, secret military in character, or take the form of militias. The state shall provide for harmonization of the duties of the women, of women towards their family and work in society. Feminism, in other words, and other things. Children and youth may not be used in vulgar trades or employed in work that is not appropriate for their age. The state shall make measures to guarantee the protection of children. Paying taxes and the fiscal expenses are the duty for each Iraqi citizen, provided that the taxes and fees are not imposed, computed, or collected except by law. Freedom of opinion, expression, organization, publishing, printing, the press, advertising, and all that stuff are guaranteed so long as public security and morals are not harmed, and the Iraqis have the final arbiter of whether that is the case or not. Iraqi citizens have the right to enjoy security, education in all its stages, health care and social insurance. The state shall strive to provide prosperity and employment opportunities for all members of the Iraqi people. Freedom of the press and printing, publishing, media, and advertising are guaranteed, and the law regulates the exercise of these freedoms. There shall be no censorship on newspapers, printing, publishing, and the media except by law. Sounds like a communist state. Doesn't sound like that. That may be his idea of democracy, at least George W. Bush's and Condoleezza Rice's, you know, a puppet government there, but it certainly is not a true idea of freedom as we understand it here at Christian Worldview. And you've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you've joined us. Look forward to having another great expose tomorrow, another time that you can tune in and listen and learn something, as this is the station that helps you think better. Until then, God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 right here at the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.